Whether they live outside or inside, all cats need parasite protection. NexGard Combo, Esofoxaleniner, Ipratropium, and Praziquantel Topical Solution is the first and only broad-spectrum parasiticide for cats that protects against fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, and treats and controls roundworms, hookworms, and tapeworms. Take protection to the next level with this easy-to-apply, one-and-done protection. Use with caution in cats with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Digestive side effects have also been reported.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We are bringing it to the zoo this time. Did I just say zoo? I did. I said zoo. We are going to be talking about zoo medicine, the journey of what that looks like, and how one of our wonderful colleagues in the profession is on this trajectory towards in that area of zoo medicine. And joining us is our wonderful colleague, Dr. Christian Capobianco. How are you, Doc?
Hi, I'm doing well, Adam. Thank you so much for having me. It's always so great to see you and catch up.
It really is good to see you. You know, I got to tell you this, Christian, and to the listeners, do you ever find that one person that you like have yet to meet in person? Like you've seen them all the time. Another might have been through like quarantine and through the pandemic. You are one of those. I still have yet to like cross paths with. But in my head, I feel like we've met each other like 5 years ago. Right?
Yes. Well, and it's so wild because we're always in and out of Disney and doing very similar things with very similar people. And we just never quite meet up. So one of these days, we're going to make it happen.
Well, we're definitely going to make it happen. Absolutely. So we're going to go through his bio to the listeners, but we're going to stop a little bit because he's got a wonderful background and journey. And it's kind of the discussion of what we're going to be talking about, as well as sharing some of his great stories that he's experienced in zoo med. So Dr. Christian is a 2023 graduate of North Carolina State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. Go
Pack.
There you go. You got shut up. Following graduation, he pursued a zoological small and large animal medicine and surgery rotating internship at University of Florida. Go
Gators. Chomp, chomp.
And he loved living in the swamp so much that he stuck around and is currently completing a zoological medicine residency program at the University of Florida. I want to stop here for a second because I think this is just so fascinating. So talk to the listeners and myself, like, how did you get to this? What inspired you as a kid? Like what? And then you went through vet school, of course, and you don't get really the zoo medicine training for your core curriculum. So what did that all look like?
Yeah, no, that's such a great point because I think a lot of students go through veterinary school nowadays, and thankfully things have kind of shifted to where now it kind of is included as a part of the core curriculum for a lot of different schools to get at least a taste of zoological companion animal medicine. But I was that kid in vet school that just wanted to take as many electives and selectives as he could to advance his knowledge of zoo med and make some connections in the field with the hopes of one day, you know, being able to get some advanced training and internship and residency. And it all worked out. I mean, I started as that kid at Animal Kingdom who just saw a doctor doing an exam on a tiger one day in the vet window and was like, ooh, that is something I want to do. Didn't know that is a part of veterinary medicine, working with these big wild animals. And it's really cool that things have kind of come full circle. And now I work with the team at Disney every now and then and get to be in that same window and get to watch kids look at us and do our jobs and hopefully inspire the next generation of zoo vets.
Okay, let's unpack that for a second, because I talk about this all the time, that all it takes is a moment to be inspired in veterinary medicine. And you literally had a moment and you saw someone that was doing incredible work. And how did that happen? That little, was it a communication that happened with him or her?
Yeah, so it's really cool because at a lot of zoological institutions nowadays, they're really prioritizing communication with the guests and education as to the care that we provide to these animals, because it truly is gold standard care for all of the animals at these facilities. And so being able to get a peek behind the scenes and look into one of those procedures as a kid and talk to one of the veterinarians via a microphone, like into the veterinary treatment window and ask questions, was my kind of intro into zoo medicine. And that was that moment in time for me. And it truly is wild to think that now I get to do it every day and be that person for other kids, potentially. I'm still early in my training, but I really value the communication aspect of this field, and I'm really excited to contribute to that in the future as well.
That's amazing. You ever see the movie? I know you're a Disney lover, so I hope you say yes. Did you see Encanto?
Oh, of course.
It doesn't it remind you when someone gives you that opportunity to open up that door for you, and the gift was always there, but maybe you just need a little help to open that door, right?
Right. Yeah. It's incredible. And I think a lot of folks, they see zoo medicine or they see a lot of these specialties as kind of a far off dream, far off goal. And sure, I mean, you can have lofty goals, but that doesn't mean they're not attainable, right? And so if
Right.
you truly want to do something, that dream and that door, it's always there. You just have to find the key and take the first step and, break it open if you have to get into where you want to be.
You know it. Okay, so in addition to all the other training that you've done and going through, you've expanded your knowledge of Eastern medicine and aquatic animal medicine by becoming a certified veterinary acupuncturist and a certified aquatic veterinarian. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so this was something really cool that I did during veterinary school. I was trying to find ways to, enhance my application for internships and residencies and really supplement my learning. And so I thought, what better way to like cater to my patients than to try and utilize all of the different modalities of treatment that are available? And Eastern medicine is one of those things. So Dr. Tara Harrison at NC State was one of my mentors and still is. We work together quite closely even now. I'm working on some research together, but she taught me how to do acupuncture. She is a certified acupuncturist and an instructor through the Qi Institute. And I went ahead and did that certification during vet school. And now I get to utilize that knowledge that is kind of based in domestic animal medicine. So all of the acupoints and stuff are modeled on dogs and cats and horses. And we get to translate that to snakes and rabbits and birds. And so it's a little bit different, but it certainly is fun to utilize that knowledge in a different kind of arena based on my specialty. And then the aquatic animal vet thing was another one where I was just like, you know what? I want to treat fish, and we don't get enough fish experience in vet school. So I did a lot of CE, did that certification program, and now that's one of those things that's another little badge that I have that I can say, hey, I like fish. Come to me if you want a fish exam or a surgery.
This is amazing, Christian. I'm still just floored with this. And with the acupuncture, I think that's awesome. Again, we talk a lot about multimodal pain management in veterinary medicine, regardless of species. And absolutely, there's such a place for Eastern medicine. So I think talk about enhancing and improving the quality of life of those patients that maybe wouldn't have had an opportunity if it wasn't for with that skill set and that knowledge base to do so. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really cool because it doesn't replace Western medicine, right? That's the thing,
Right.
is it's an adjunctive treatment. So you can kind of, it's fun for me. I have my Western brain and my Eastern brain. So sometimes I have to turn off one to get into the other brain.
Yes.
But I can still utilize NSAIDs and opiates and so on to help with pain while also pursuing electroacupuncture and maybe some aqua acupuncture in order to help increase nerve stimulation in that area or bring blood flow to areas that need a little bit more healing support and just open those channels for the chi vessels to go through. So it's quite helpful. And I've utilized it pretty extensively so far in my internship and residency, and it's been a lot of fun, particularly in my zoo cases, to kind of show even the keepers and curators something new and a new tool
Yeah.
that we have in our tool belt to help provide the best quality of care to these animals as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Great job. And share with me where you're at now. You're in your residency, my understanding, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm in a 3-year zoological medicine residency at the University of Florida.
Okay. And what does that look like? So it's 3 years, and what are some of the things that you have to do within that residency? And then what's the next step?
Sure. So these residency programs are really designed to set the resident up for board certification at the end. So for us in zoo medicine, our college is the American College of Zoological Medicine. In order to be qualified to sit your board exam, you have to either complete a residency or you have to do an experiential path, which is, I think, 6 years of full-time zoological medicine veterinary work, in order to be qualified. And then you also have to have a pretty significant research component to your program. So you have to have 3 first author publications, by the time you are ready to sit for boards in order to be eligible. So, our residency program allows us to not only gain experience clinically and obviously see cases throughout the day, not only from client-owned exotics, but also 3 local zoological institutions that are AZA accredited that we work very closely with. And then we are responsible for doing research in our off time, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm on a research week, so I took a minute away from writing papers to come chat with you guys. And then we also have a pretty heavy teaching component as well. So we obviously are responsible for teaching students informally when they rotate through their rotation, kind of just hands-on in the clinic learning. And then we get some didactic time as well to do formal sit-down lectures with the students. And then all the while, the important thing is we're learning this whole time, right? So we are still students at this stage, and we have fantastic mentors that lead our program and lead our service that are boarded in Zoom medicine that kind of help us make sure we're meeting all of our milestones and are as prepared as we can to take the next steps after residency ends.
When you think of Zoom medicine, and this is like my naive brain about this, you think, gosh, so Christian's got to understand so many different species. Is that what it's like when you have to take your boards? Like, talk to me about what that looks like.
Sure. So our board exam is based on basically all of the textbooks
Oh my
that
goodness.
have zoo medicine information. So we have like our aquatic animal textbooks, our zoo medicine, our amphibian and reptile, our avian medicine books. And so you have to basically know the information in those textbooks, but then also know the past 3-ish years of peer-reviewed publications in recent or kind of important journals within the field of zoological medicine. The reason for that being, obviously, these articles that are published more recently are not going to be in the big textbooks just yet. So being as up-to-date as possible with the literature is going to set you up for success for boards. So it's kind of crazy. And I think everyone's always like, yeah, you have to know everything about everything. And you totally don't, right? That's totally impossible. Our job is to kind of know the big things about each species. So I always tell people that zoo veterinarians are the ultimate generalists. We know a little bit about a lot. Our pride and joy is when you give us a species, we can be like, okay, here's some unique anatomy. This is where you draw blood. These are anesthetics that you shouldn't use. These are drugs that'll potentially cause toxicity. And here are the common diseases they get. That is what pops into my brain when you give me a species. And that's really what we're meant for, is for ensuring we know a little bit about each species. And then if we need to know a little bit more, we can reach out to colleagues in the field that have worked with them a little bit more extensively. And sometimes you're kind of charting new courses because sometimes you haven't used a particular drug in a particular species before, right? And you may have to use that and then write it up and share it at a conference so you can spread your knowledge and help out the wider population.
It's incredible. And how long are the boards?
The board exam is a 2-day exam. There are two different parts to it. The first part is kind of like the qualifying exam to take part two. And what's really nice is the day one exam, if you take that and pass it, you never have to take it again. So that's
Wow.
good, because that's a
Okay.
pretty crazy, stressful exam. And then day two is a little bit more intense. It's got some slide questions, some short answer questions, and it's specifically based on the kind of track of zoo medicine that you're taking. So whether you're doing like zoological companion animals, general zoo, aquatics, so on and so forth, those exams are going to look a little bit different based on your subspecialty within the specialty. And so you take that exam and hopefully pass it, and then you get some more letters.
Oh, yeah. Well-deserved letters for sure. And tell me about the research that you're currently working on.
Ooh, yeah, I've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
So the most recent one that I'm getting ready to submit, we looked at some different thermometry methods in large flying fox bats, so these old world fruit bats. We work very closely with Luby Bat Conservancy here in Gainesville, and they have one of the largest, if not the largest, population of old world fruit bats outside of the old world itself. So we have found in the past that it's really, really hard to keep these animals warm under anesthesia. They have a very high incidence of perianesthetic hypothermia, and it's hard to warm them up, as a lot of the warming methods that we traditionally use can actually cause further injury to them. So keeping an eye on their temperature is really important and helpful, but it's really hard in some of these bats, especially when they're itty bitty, to use a rectal or esophageal thermometer. So we looked at utilizing an axillary infrared thermometer in them and comparing that to rectal and esophageal modalities. And so that study is all finished up and wrapped up in a bow, and I'm getting ready to submit that right now. I've got some on manatees and some on, what's another one? Intranuclear coccidiosis in tortoises. I've just finished an acupuncture study with Dr. Harrison looking at Anshen aquapuncture in chickens and quail to help decrease their stress hormones associated with being in clinic. So lots of fun stuff to do in zoo medicine. That's the magic of it, is we really don't know a lot about these species in comparison to domestic animals. So there's so much room for research.
Yeah, so much room for research. And it sounds like there's room to really find your passion within what you love to, you know, talk about or learn more about, because there's so many great species that are just out there, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And it's a really fantastic thing for students that are coming up in the field as well, because there's such a paucity in the literature in a number of these species.
Right.
If you have something you're passionate about and excited about, go talk to your mentor, see if you can get a grant, see if you can write a case report or something, because there's so much to do in this field, and there's just simply not enough of us and not enough time to write everything up. So students really are quite helpful with that.
Has technology, you know how there's such, technology has really rapidly evolved in companion animal medicine in general with dogs and cats. It's been incredible, and especially with AI. Is it growing in the terms of the zoomed sector? Do you think there's a lot of great technology that's out there? I mean, I'm sure it's got a ways to go, but anything?
Yeah. I think technology is always, the rapid evolution of technology is going to always, you know, be super helpful for veterinary medicine. It's just a little bit challenging because I feel like zoo medicine tends to lag a little bit behind some of the other specialties, just because we're dealing with so many species and trying to figure out what's going to work in each species. But absolutely. I mean, nowadays we're utilizing like implantable loop recorders, if you've ever heard of them, for like humans to do continuous ECG tracings. We utilize them in our grade 8 patients a ton nowadays. There are a number of publications out there for that, since it's really hard for us to get voluntary awake ECGs on these animals, and they have a very high incidence of heart disease. We have been utilizing that technology extensively. We can also get awake EKGs on them by using the little cardiomobile thing where you put like your two fingers. So some of those animals are trained to like place their fingers on the little portable ECG and get some tracings as well. They're trained for voluntary blood pressures. So when I think of like technology helping ZooMed, that's one of the first things that comes to mind in the recent past has been the Grade 8 Heart Project and all the work that they've done.
Yes, that's fantastic. Okay, I'm sure you have a couple of fun stories or cool cases that you want to maybe share with the listeners. Do you have any of them?
I've got so many. I guess one of the more recent ones that was a lot of fun for me was an ostrich that came in that ate a bunch of metal. So ostrich are one of my favorite species, and ratites in general are a really cool group of birds to work with. They're not the most intelligent birds though. So I always say they kind of have like two brain cells, and sometimes they mash together and form a thought. But they see shiny things, they get excited, they want to eat it. So we recently had a younger ostrich that came in and ate a ton of metal. We were able to get that animal imaged awake. So we kind of walked him down into our large animal radiology suite, and we're able to get awake x-rays on him, just like walking a horse in to get x-rays. And then we went in and anesthetized him, did a proventriculotomy. It was my first one that I've done in a large bird like that. So I tagged in our surgery team to help us out. And that just shows, how collaborative UF is as a hospital, that we can just call across to our friends and they'll come help me out taking metal out of an ostrich without even a second thought. Yeah. We got in there, got the metal out, stitched him up, and he is doing beautifully back home. So that was a really cool case recently. And it was, I feel like I'm doing something new every day, and it's a pinch me moment every day for me. But that's one that stands out more recently as one that I was like, wow, that was a really cool day for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, if someone had to say, doctor, what is the one species that you just absolutely are obsessed with? You can only pick one. You can't pick anything else, only one. It would be...
So I guess obsessed with like my favorite or my favorite to work with.
Oh, let's do separate. Let's do your one that you just absolutely enamored with and the one that you love to work with.
Everybody who knows me knows that my favorite species in general are okapi. Do you know okapi?
I know this because I follow you on Instagram.
There you go. It's very important to me. So okapi are the closest relative to the giraffe. They have these long prehensile tongues. They're kind of like the forest unicorns of Africa. Really stripy butts to help break up their color in the forest and help camouflage. And they are just some of the coolest animals out there. They're fun to work with. They're not the most fun to anesthetize, but they're really fun to work with otherwise. They love treats. They love scratches. They tend to be a more tactile species, which is super helpful. And they're just adorable. You can't not love an okapi. And then I think my favorite to work with, I think I've really grown to love crocodilians. And I think it's because I'm at UF. I know your face right now.
I would have lost that bet.
But I really do. They're some of my favorites to work with. They're such a hardy group of animals that, you have a crocodile that comes in with really, really severe injuries. And you're like, in any other animal, that would be really, really bad. And it's still not great for the crocodile, but I have been absolutely amazed at what they can go through, what they can heal from. And I often say with crocodiles, like, yes, I'll do surgery on the crocodile to do like a wound repair. Did I actually really help the animal? I'm going to tell myself that I did.
Yeah.
But could he have probably healed without it? Maybe. Who knows, right? They're dinosaurs and they're amazing. But their anatomy, physiology, surgery, medications, like everything we do with them is just so different from other species. And they keep me on my toes. And it's always an adrenaline rush when I get to work with a larger alligator or crocodilian.
Yeah, I can imagine. Absolutely. So cool. As we're wrapping up, I want to ask, we were just talking, I think, offline about mentorship. And I want you to give a shout out to those that we know how important it is. You talked about that moment that you had when you were inspired at Disney. But give us a shout out on who are some of your mentors that really have helped you along the way and currently helping you along the way.
Yeah, I think, like you said, mentorship is so vital. And whenever you're trying to think about like, oh, what do I want to do in the future? You look to the people who've done it, right? Because they're the ones you need to aspire to be like. And it's been really cool throughout my life. I've had some really great mentors from when I was a kiddo, just starting and learning about veterinary medicine all the way up till now. So I got my start at Massapequa Pet Vet when I was really, really young on Long Island with Dr. Hilary Schilke and Ned Horowitz, and then moved to NC State and got to work with Dr. Tyler Brady, Dr. Shweta Trivedi, Dr. Greg Lubart, and the entire exotic animal medicine team at NC State, who really helped me out during my vet school years. And now moving on to like my life after vet school and starting out as a veterinarian, I've not known being a veterinarian outside of UF. And so these people have kind of helped me grow up as a vet. And so here, Dr. Alexander, Dr. Wellahan, my resident mates, Dr. Walker and Dr. Diaz, you know, they've all been really instrumental in shaping me into the veterinarian I am. And I can't leave this chat without talking about the amazing technicians and assistants out there too, because without them, veterinarians are absolutely nothing. And I truly feel like I've learned more from technicians throughout the years than veterinarians sometimes, because they are just absolute rock stars. So thanks to all the techs I work with daily as well.
Oh, that's nice. Great shout out there. I'll never forget when I was working the ER a couple of years ago, there was a peacock that got hit by a car. And I said, really? On my watch? Right? This has to happen on my dime?
You could have called me.
Right. I know. I really should have just zoomed in with you. Yeah. But to your point, to the technician, she was an exotic technician. She's like, I got you. This is what you're going to say. This is how we're going to wrap everything. It was like a broken radius is what it was. Yeah. But she did an incredible wrap. Peacock's doing phenomenal. But she gave me all the verbiage to share. And I would have not been able to do if it wasn't for her. So you're exactly right. So big shout out to the techs and assistants out there.
Yes, they are phenomenal. The lifeblood of the clinic, for sure.
I know. And my last thing for you, and I want to give you a shout out on this because, you know, we talk about work-life balance and you really enjoy running. And I'm really proud of seeing all the great, you know, marathons that you've done. There's a special marathon that's a little near and dear to my heart, the Disney ones.
Yes.
But how important is that for you?
It's so important. I think everyone goes through veterinary medicine when they're younger and they're like, I want to be a veterinarian. I want to do this, this, that. Yes, veterinary medicine is so cool and it is a huge part of my life, but it's not who I am, right? Like we have other things outside of veterinary medicine that are really important. And if you just focus on your job, you're missing a whole bunch of life out there. So really maintaining that work-life balance is super important to me. And I feel like I've only just now, you know, as of about a year ago, figured out what that looks like. We're all type A vet students, right? I mean, it's hard to get out of that mindset and realize we're not competing anymore. We can enjoy our life. So running's been a really great avenue for that and has allowed me to escape and kind of go into a different mindset. And I haven't done a marathon yet, Adam, but I'm going to. I've been doing 10Ks and I'm going to get to a half marathon in January and we'll see where my knees can take me. But I'm excited to try.
You didn't do a Disney one? I thought you did.
I did the Disney ones, but those it wasn't a marathon. For me, it was a 10K and then a half, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, awesome. Great work. And I love that you shared that. And I when I teach and speak at vet schools, I talk about that. I said, you know, all you can think about is being a veterinarian. And it is a large part of who you are, but it's not everything, you know, and we sometimes lose sight of that. And it's so important to stay true to your authentic self and enjoy life. I mean, life is too short, you know, You want to enjoy those fine things, especially being with your family and friends and pets and, you know, enjoying things that you just love to do. So,
Well, I've met so many residents over the years that finish residency, and at the end, they're like, okay, I'm done. Now what? Right? Like, I don't know who I am outside of this residency and this job. And I know it's going to be difficult, but I hope that I have some semblance of work-life balance by the end of this to not truly be that person, but we'll see.
You will. And I want to say this for the record, on the record, because I am so proud of you. You know, I have followed you when you were in vet school, and you've done some work with us at DVM 360, of course, and just following your social media accounts, Christian. And I'm, you know, an older veterinarian, but I'm learning from your account. And that's the beauty behind this profession. I don't care how old you are, even the vet students, I'm learning from them. But to see where you are and where you're heading, and to the listeners, I want you to know this. We have one incredible rock star that's in this profession, and his name is Dr. Christian Capobianco. And this is going to be a name that I'm going to say this, like, you will be the one in the books that people are going to remember, the publications, the stories, the videos, whatever you're going to be, the sky's the limit for you. And I just can't wait to see what else you have in store.
That's so sweet, Adam. Thank you so much. It's been great following along with you. And I mean, couldn't do it without my team and the people that have pushed me to be where I am. So I just hope to be a tenth as great as all my mentors have been over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome. Just Venmo me later, like we talked about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell the listeners, where can we follow you?
Yeah, so I think my biggest and kind of only public social media platform is Instagram. So at dr.christiandvm. And yeah, if you want to learn a little bit more about Zoom medicine, follow along with me when we do some really cool cases in the Zoom medicine department here at UF, feel free to follow along. And then UF has some social media as well. So UF Zoom Med or at UF Zoom Med if you want to follow the department itself.
Absolutely. And we'll put those all in the show notes too for the listeners too. So Christian, thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're very busy, but I'm so glad we can make this work.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. Hope to chat again soon.
You're welcome. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in. We are number three right now on the Vet Blast podcast for our most popular veterinary podcast out there. So thank you for all your continued listens and support. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.
Hello there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Stay informed, stay inspired, and stay ahead with DVM 360, the leading multimedia provider of veterinary news. From breaking industry updates to expert insights and conference coverage from leading industry conferences such as Every Fetch Conference, WVC, and VMX, DVM 360 keeps you up to date with the latest and greatest in the veterinary medicine industry. Visit DVM360.com and be a part of a community that's shaping the future of veterinary medicine.